Grandma, will you please tell us a story?
Yes, Grandma, please tell us a story.
Yes, I would like to hear a story too.
Yes, I'll be glad to tell you a story, children, if you sing a song for me.
Okay, here's our song.
Oh, God, guide me, protect me, make of me a shining lamp and a brilliant star. Thou art the mighty and powerful Abdu'l-Bahá.
Thank you, children. Now here are some stories about the early childhood of Baha'u'llah. They're taken from the book The Blessed Beauty, Baha'u'llah, by Mahnaz Afshin. Baha'u'llah's childhood was very happy and comfortable. His father, Mirza Buzurg, was a minister in the court of the Qajar king. From a very tender age, Baha'u'llah was different from other children. His mother often said that he never cried or fussed about anything. Although he had never had a teacher or been to any school, his extraordinary knowledge amazed all who came to know him. Great strength of character and willpower were reflected in his strikingly beautiful face with piercing black eyes and eyebrows, a well-shaped nose, and firm mouth. It is related that one day when Baha'u'llah was 7 years old, he was walking and his parents were watching him. His mother remarked that he was a little short in stature. His father replied, "That matters not. Do you not know how intelligent he is and what a wonderful mind he has?" When Baha'u'llah was about 5 years old, his father had a special dream. He dreamt that Baha'u'llah was swimming in a vast ocean. His body was shining with such brilliance that it lit the entire sea. Suddenly, a great number of fish came from different directions, and each one caught hold of a hair of his head. In spite of their great number, they were powerless to hurt him, and followed him as he swam. The vizier, greatly impressed by this dream, understood that it was not an ordinary vision and that it must signify something special. In those days, there were a few gifted people called soothsayers who could interpret dreams. The vizier called one of the most famous of them. On hearing the dream, the soothsayer declared that the vast ocean that he had seen in his dream was the world of being, and Baha'u'llah would single-handedly rule over it. He would do as he pleased, and no one would have be powerful enough to stop his progress. The fish signify troublesome people who would surround him, but could not harm even a hair of his blessed head, as he was protected by God. When the soothsayer was taken to see the Blessed Beauty, another title of Baha'u'llah, he was so full of praise for him that his father became even more devoted to his son and surrounded him with loving protection. From his childhood, Baha'u'llah showed extraordinary intelligence and understanding. He noticed many things and understood points that even his elders had never thought of. For instance, while still very young, he attended his elder brother's wedding. According to the custom, they had celebrations for 7 days and 7 nights. On the last night, there was a puppet show, and many important guests had come to see it. Baha'u'llah, too, was present. As the curtain went up, a few dolls entered and announced that King Salim was about to come. Many other dolls entered the stage with much enthusiasm and made a show of welcoming the king. Some swept the floor, others sprinkled water on the path, and a few more rolled out a beautiful carpet. There was a general air of excitement, and all the people were moving about swiftly, trying to keep everything in order. Just then, the announcer entered once more to say, that everyone should prepare himself to hail the king. The whole court stood up. At last, King Salim entered with great majesty and splendor. He was dressed in magnificent clothes. A beautiful crown rested on his head. He had many ornaments round his neck and fingers, and held a jeweled scepter in his hand. As he entered, the sound of guns and trumpets was heard. The king walked slowly and grandly towards his throne and sat down, while the entire court bowed in awe and respect. Some guards then entered, leading a thief, and waited for the king's command. The king ordered for the thief to be beheaded. Immediately, an executioner came forward and obeyed the king's command. Blood in the form of a red fluid started to gush out of the puppet's neck. News was then brought that the citizens of one of the states of his kingdom had rebelled and risen against the king. As soon as he heard this disturbing news, the king ordered his soldiers to go at once and put an end to this uprising. The soldiers went out, and from behind the curtain the sound of guns was heard, showing that the king's command was being carried out. When the show ended, Baha'u'llah, who had been watching with great interest, wondered how all this happened and how the dolls had entered and disappeared. After about 20 minutes, Baha'u'llah saw a man with a box under his arm. He went forward and asked him what the box contained. The man answered that it contained the whole court, the puppet king, the ministers, his guards, his courtiers, and everything that he had seen in the show. On hearing this, Baha'u'llah, even at that tender age, realized an important truth about the world, that all the beautiful things in the world are in reality just like a puppet show. He commented in words such as these, "How very surprising that although the people know the wealth and all the material things of this world will not last long, they still cling to them." This incident shows how the Blessed Beauty always thought of deep and important matters. Even today there are people who are educated but do not realize this truth and spend their lives collecting material wealth, thinking that this is the purpose of life. Sometimes, for the sake of their high position and names, they engage in fierce quarrels and even go to the extent of killing one another. If they stop to ponder, they would realize that when their lives have ended, like puppets, they too will end up in boxes, their coffins. Neither their fame nor their wealth will be of any use to them. From childhood, Baha'u'llah was extremely kind and generous. He was a great lover of outdoor life, and most of his time being spent in the gardens or in the fields. He had an extraordinary power of attraction which was felt by all. People from all walks of life sought his company. Even ministers of the court would gather around him, and the children too were devoted to him. When he was only 13 or 14 years old, he became renowned for his learning. He could converse on any subject and solve any problem presented to him. In large gatherings, he would discuss matters with the ulama, the leading mullahs, and would explain intricate religious questions. All of them used to listen to him with the greatest interest. When Baha'u'llah was 22 years old, his father passed away, and the government wanted him to take up his father's position in the ministry, as was customary in Iran. But Baha'u'llah did not accept the offer. The prime minister then said, "Leave him to himself. Such a position is unworthy of him. He has some higher aim in view. I cannot understand him, but I am convinced that he is destined for some lofty career. His thoughts are not like ours. Leave him alone. Once when Baha'u'llah was quite young, he traveled to Nur, a district of Mazinderan, where his relatives lived. There is a village in Nur by the name of Takur, and Baha'u'llah's father owned sizable property there. It was here that the family spent most of their summers. In those days, there lived a religious teacher named Muhammad Taqi. He was very famous for his knowledge of religion, and his students were proud of having him as their teacher. One day, in his class of about 200 students, Muhammad Taqi read an Islamic tradition and asked his students to interpret it. None of them could answer correctly. Baha'u'llah, who was also present, asked permission to explain the tradition, and did so in very simple and sweet words. Everyone was astonished. Muhammad Taqi was very upset at the weakness of his own students. When Baha'u'llah left, the teacher told his students that it was a shame that after all these years of study, not one of them was able to answer his question. And the youth, Baha'u'llah, who had never attended any school, gave the meaning so simply and beautifully. Of course, Muhammad Taqi was not aware of the fact that Baha'u'llah was not an ordinary person, and therefore his knowledge and understanding were not ordinary either. He had innate divine knowledge. One day, Muhammad Taqi told his students about two strange dreams that he had had concerning Baha'u'llah. He related, "Once I was standing with a number of people, when suddenly I saw everyone pointing towards a house and saying that the Promised One was there. I went to the house immediately, but the guards prevented me from entering, saying that the Promised One was conversing with someone. From the signs they made, I realized that the person the Promised One was talking to was Mirza Hussein Ali, Baha'u'llah. In another dream," he continued, "I saw several boxes which the people told me belonged to Baha'u'llah. I opened one of them. It was full of books. I then opened one of the books. To my surprise, I noticed that all the words were made up of jewels. The brightness and luminosity of those words was so intense that I woke up from my dream." The days passed by swiftly, and the time had now come for Baha'u'llah to marry. Who was going to be the fortunate lady worthy to be his wife? God had already chosen for him the kindest and the most loving of all his handmaidens. This blessed person was Asiya Khanum. Her father, too, had an important position in the court of the king. What a splendid and glorious wedding they had! According to the marriage customs of those early days, jewelers came to her house to prepare the necessary ornaments that would adorn her beauty. 40 camels had to carry her dowry to Baha'u'llah's house. Even the buttons on her dress were made of gold. But the most important point was that even though she led a very luxurious and comfortable life, she never complained nor lost her patience when Baha'u'llah was suddenly imprisoned without reason and their house was ransacked. They lost everything in one night, even to the extent that they did not have food for the next day. Asiya Khanum was tall and delicately built, with dark blue eyes. She shone like a glorious queen among the women of those days. Everyone praised her wisdom and intelligence. She was so kind and full of love that all were moved by her distinguished personality and her calm and serene manner. Baha'u'llah and Asiya Khanum rarely took part in entertaining the elite of the city. They got more pleasure from meeting the poor who did not wear grand clothes, whose pockets were empty, whose homes were small, but whose hearts were close to God. Baha'u'llah's house, a place which received a new spirit every morning and evening with the chanting of the words of God, was open to all. The dining room was always ready for the poor and needy. How the pure-hearted people loved this house. They respected the lady of the house, whose blue eyes were as calm and as deep as the ocean, and whose heart was full of love and kindness. Asiya Khanum was like a mother to the needy women, and Baha'u'llah was called the father of the poor. Those days were beautiful. Whoever had any grief or trouble would forget about it when he entered the house of Baha'u'llah. Here was a shelter for the helpless and a home for the innocent people. From this marriage, 7 children were born, 2 girls and 5 boys. 4 of them died, and only 3 remained. Their eldest son was named Abbas, who later, by his own wish, came to be known as Abdul Baha, which means the servant of Baha. The second child was a pretty, kind girl named Bahia Khanum, who was later given the title of the greatest holy leaf by Baha'u'llah. The youngest son was named Mehdi, who was known as the purest branch. Mehdi was 3 years younger than Bahia Khanum.